All right, welcome everybody. The topic of the shiur is very much close to my heart, and I think it's close to Dr. Bergman's here, and very much close to your heart, and should be close to all our hearts. It's the year of Shemitah. And the question of whether Bikurim, which of course is very timely because it begins on Shavuos, whether Bikurim applies in a year like ours, in a year of Shemitah. The topic touches on a lot of considerations that relate to the mitzvah of Bikurim and to the mitzvah of Shemitah. And as we'll see, there are some core aspects of mitzvah Shemitah that seem to conflict with the mitzvah of Bikurim. One obvious example, Bikurim requires a Jewish farmer to bring his first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah says, Reishis Bikur Admascha Tavi Beis Hashem Elokecha. This Havah, this bringing of Bikurim, is usually accompanied by a Mikra Bikurim, a declaration, which the Torah gives us in Parshas Kisavo. The farmer says, Aram Yovid Avi, and he concludes, Ve'ata Hinehe Vesi Esreshis Pri Adama. I have brought the fruit, the first fruits, to you, Hashem, and he's thanking Hashem for giving him the fruit. We all know that the produce of Shemitah is considered Hefker. It's available for anyone to take and to share with everybody. Pasuk says, Vashvi's Tishmetana Unitashta, V'achu Evyoni Amecha, the Pasuk in Parshas Bahar that we're going to read, V'aisa Shabbos Arzulchem L'achu L'cha L'abdecha V'ramasecha, and so on. So how can a farmer offer such fruits as Bikurim, let alone declare as such, Hinei Heveisi Esreishis Pri Adama Shinasat Eli Hashem? That's just one of many issues that we'll try to address. Time constraints probably won't allow us to do justice to the sugya, because it's a very complex sugya, but what I'd like to do, Be'ezras Hashem, is to explore in broad strokes the topic, to survey some key makoros and some of the underlying lumdis that would come to bear on this issue. I just want to tell you parenthetically, it's a topic that I've discovered is not very well known, even among Talmidei Chachamim. Over the course of Shabbos, as well as this morning, I had opportunity to ask several very knowledgeable people, different ages, one Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, the question of, what do you think? Does Bikurim apply in the year of Shemitah? And it seemed like no one had thought about it. I could see from the twinkle in their eyes and the smile on their face that it was something new, something different. So it just was interesting to notice that, you know, as much as we think it's a question that should be looked at, most people haven't thought about it. So let's begin with the following background. When we think about Bikurim, we often associate it with mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz, like trumas, maisris, and the like. What's the halacha when we talk about the year of Shemitah regarding trumas and maisris? So the Rambam tells us in source number one pretty clearly, Shnas HaShemitah, everything is hefker. The Einba lo truma v'lo maisris klal, lo rishon v'lo sheni v'lo maisr ani. We know different years of the Shemitah cycle, so there's going to be maisr sheni, first, second, fourth, fifth year, Maaser Ani, the third and sixth year, Trumas, of course, every year. But during Shemitah, where everything is Hefker, the Ram tells us there is no halach of Trumas and Maaseris, which means because what is Hefker, you're not Mechuyev to give Trumas and Maaseris. And the source is mentioned by the Bar Tanura. You have this in source two. It should say Peya. It got a little, there's a little typo there. The Mishnah says in Peya, in Perakal Mishnah Vav, the case of a person who's Mafkir to Aso, somebody's mafkir is tfuah and someone is zoche in it, that person who zoche minai hefker is not chayiv to give meiser. And the drasha that the rab brings is the pasuk in Parshas Ekev. Uva ha-levi ke'en lo chel v'nach la'imach. We're talking about meiser ani, and the Torah describes the one receiving meiser ani, the levi, as someone who has no stake, has no share with you in the produce. So the drasha is that it's only in a case where he doesn't have equal access to that which he's getting, that's where you have an obligation to give it to him. But a case where it's hefker and anyone could get it, there's no halacha to give meiser ani, and so too meiser sheni, and so too trumas. This is one source as far as why Shemitah is exempt from Trumas u'Maisris. There's another source that's specific to Shemitah that Rashi quotes in Chumash and Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim. The Torah says, "And Shvi is Tishmetana u'Netashta," that the fruit is to be seen as Hefker. The Yisram Tochachayasa, and it's to be eaten by the Avyoni Amecha, by the poor. The Yisram Tochachayasa Sada, and the rest is going to be eaten by the beasts of the field. So there's a hekesh between Avyoni Amecha and Chayas HaSadeh. So Rashi brings here that source, that Rasha, Lahakish, Michael, Avyon, Michael, Chaya. There's an equation the Torah is establishing. Just as we know Chaya can eat without Maaser, no halacha to take off Maaser for the animal, so it is when it comes to the person who's eating, the Avyoni Amecha of Shemitah, no halacha to take off from the Maaser. So we have really two sources, and this Akasha the Turi Evan, Rabari spoke about this in one of the Yeshurim. What do you need? A new drasha that Rashi is quoting here in Chumash, that's specific to Shemitah. If the general halacha is that Hefker is pater from Trumas HaMaisis, so that's a famous question that the Achronim try to discuss. Why do you need two separate sources? But the din is clear, that there is no halacha of Trumas HaMaisis during Shemitah. So now, you might think, Bikurim is similar in that way, and therefore shouldn't apply during Shemitah. But that's far from simple, because if you can see the Tosis in Baba Basra here, Tosis makes the following point, that we don't view Bikurim as mitzvah tuya ba'aretz, like Trumas Maisris and Chala, for example, where it's a halacha in the Guf HaPri, for example, that you have to take off Trumas Maisris, whereas Bikurim is very different. Bikurim doesn't create Tevel. If you don't take off Bikurim, the rest is not Usher. Bikurim is different. It's a Chovas Gavra. It's a halacha that the individual should bring Bikurim. There's a Tanai that, of course, if he has a field, then he takes the Bikurim. Just like Tzitzis is a Chovas Gavra, but you have to have a Beged of Dalet Kanfos. But it's not the same as other mitzvahs or Tuleis Ba'aretz. Therefore, one could certainly differentiate between Bikurim and these other examples of Tumas HaMaisris in terms of Shviyas. It doesn't automatically go under the same exemption that we just read about regarding Tumas HaMaisris. It's interesting, the Mishnah in Bikurim, I'm speaking very quickly because we have a lot of ground to try to cover. The Mishnah Bikurim talks about differences between Bikurim on the one hand, Truma Maiser on the other, mentions a few things that Bikurim has over Truma Maiseris. For example, as it says in Source 5, Bikurim nikne b'mechuba l'karka, it happens not after you take it off, like by Truma Maiseris, but on the tree you're already mafish Bikurim, the status already takes effect. Other differences, a person can make the entire field Bikurim, doesn't need shiar any karim, as we find by Truma, chayibach riusan, tu'unim karbon v'shir, knufa v'lina. What's not mentioned in the Mishnah is that Bikurim is noeg in Shemitah, unlike Trumas HaMaisris, which perhaps would be suggesting that they're of the same level. So we have to know, this is what it's mashma from the Mishnah. The Me'iri says Mefurish clearly not that way. He says, no heges, no agim, truma ubikurim, b'chol shana v'shana, chutz mishnas ha-shmita, she'en adam zareba. So Me'iri seems to say clearly that there is no din of bikurim during Shemitah. Now, what makes this topic very interesting and really a springboard for a lot of the ink that's been spilled on this topic is a Rashi in Chumash, which really there isn't an excuse for people not to know Rashi in Chumash, but so be it. Rashi in Chumash in Parashas Mishpatim is commenting on a series of psukim that appear where you have Shemitah mentioned, and a few psukim later you have Bikurim. Now, in between, the Torah also mentions, after the psukim of Shemitah, the two psukim, as you see in the beginning, Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph, the Torah mentions Shabbos Bereishis, Sheshes Yom Tov Aviv Shetishbos, and then it goes on to talk about Sholosh Regalim, and then at the very end, right before the end of the section, Reishis Bikurim Ad Masra. The Rashi makes a few comments about why the Torah puts these particular mitzvahs right next to Shemitah. First, Rashi says, why is the Torah told about Shabbos right after Shemitah? Ach b'shnas ha-shemitah lo ti'okeh Shabbos b'rishis mimkoma. That means to say, you would have thought, Rashi Gelet gives us the Havamina, shelo tomar, holo b'kla shana kuya Shabbos, lo t'nik b'shabbos b'rishis. If the whole year is a Shabbos year, a sabbatical year, you don't need to observe the weekly Shabbos. So that's where the Torah tells us that Shabbos exists as a mitzvah even during Shemitah. Fine. Rashi goes on and says a similar point regarding the Sholosh Regalim. There's a mitzvah to be Ola Regel. Rashi comments in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Sholosh Pan Bashana, Lefi Shayim Medabe Beshviyis, Hutzrach Lomar, Shul Yistarasu Regalim Im Koman. Here too we could understand why one would have thought that since Sholosh Regalim are patterned after the seasons of the agriculture, right, you have the Aviv, you have the Katsir and the Asif, and Shemitah is a year that we're not supposed to plant, and so on, so maybe you wouldn't have the observance of Sholosh Regalim. So the Torah tells us, no, even during Shemitah, you observe the Sholosh Regalim. Then Rashi goes one step further about the pasuk of Bikurim. Rashi says, "Reishis Bikurim Ad Mascha, Ach Hashvius Chayeves BeBikurim, Ukach Nemar Afkan Bikurim Ad Mascha." So Rashi pretty much goes on the record. The matter seems to be settled. Rashi in Chumash that the pasuk is telling us that Bikur applies during Shemitah. Now, that sounds innocent enough. If you look in the Tashbates, the next source, who lived in the 14th century, he cites Rashi's comments without making an issue about it. He was asked about various things of Shemitah, Omer, Shtealechem, and Bikurim. And regarding Bikurim, he says, Rashi tells us, in Parshas and Kesef Talva, that's the second half of Mishpatim, Shoyim Meviyim Osam B'Shnas HaShemitah, and he goes a step further. Not only did you bring Bikurim, says the Tashbates, the Kevin Shoyim Meviyim HaYukorin Gankim. Not only was there a mitzvah to bring Bikurim, the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim would apply as well. So this is what he assumes to be the case based on the Rashi. Who creates all the commotion? And that's the Maharal. The Maharal in Gur Aryeh, on the Pasuk there that Rashi comments on, says it can't be that this is a real Rashi. And the reason partly is because we don't find this in Chazal, this Rashi. The first two comments of Rashi are in the Mechilta, that the Torah tells you about Shabbos next to Shemitah to tell you that you observe Shabbos Bereishis during Shemitah. Shalosh Regalim is mentioned to tell me that you still have the mitzvah to be Olah Regel during Shemitah. That's in the Mechilta. The comment about Bikurim is not found anywhere that we know in Chazal. Moreover, the Maharal says it's not logical. What does the pasuk say when a person brings Bikurim? Hinei Veisi Es Reishis Pri Ha'adama Shenasati LiHashem. He's thanking Hashem for giving him the first fruit. Asks the Maharal, source 11, how can a person say that? How can you have mitzvahs bikurim at all? After all, the lo nasan. He didn't give it to him. The ech shayich shechayif bibikurim. Now, we should step back and wonder about the Maharal's kashin. Maharal seems to be saying there should be no mitzvah period of bikurim. And he focuses on the language of the pasuk of mikra bikurim. Now, we do find at the beginning of Mishnah's Bikurim many cases of Yesh Mevi'in, the Ein Korin. We know that between Sukkot and Hanukkah, we don't have Mikra Bikurim. There are cases where the nourishment comes from Mishus HaRabim, and cases like that where your Mevi'in, you can't say the parasha of Mikra Bikurim. So what's the taina of the Maharal? Maybe all Rashi meant was that there's a mitzvah to bring Bikurim, but not necessarily to read. The Tashbates assumed that even Mikra Bikurim applies, but Rashi himself didn't say that. So it could be that the Maharal would feel that there's a difference between specific isolated cases where for technical reasons you can't do Mikra Bikurim, or specific seasons that you don't have Mikra Bikurim. But here we're talking about an entire year. The entire Shnas HaShemitah would have mitzvah of Hava without reading Bikurim. That Maharal felt was too far-fetched. So maybe that's where the Maharal is coming from. Maybe you could say another possibility. But the Maharal takes the pasuk of Mikra Bikurim and says it can't be that there's a Chiyuv Bikurim at all. So there are many who try to come to the rescue, you could say, of the text of our Rashi. After all, the Tashbates did have it. The Ephraim Margolius, the Beis Ephraim, has a Perush in Rashi and Chumash. And he says, let's look at that pasuk more carefully. How do we punctuate it? The Ata Hinei Hevesi Esreishis Pri Adama Asher Nasati LeHashem. We refer to the Pri Adama, and then we say Asher Nasati. What's the antecedent? Asher Nasati LeHashem. The Maharal is clearly assuming that it's the Pri Adama that you say you gave me, but Hashem didn't give you the Pri Adama if it's Hefker, right? But maybe the Asher Nasati is modifying not the Pri, but the Adama. In other words, the Pri is Hefker, but I'm bringing you the pri that I got from Hefker, Asher Nasatali, Adam Asher Nasatali, the pri of the Adam. That's one of the points that the Beis Ephraim makes. But this, of course, opens up another question. What is the status of the Adama during Shemitah? The Torah says the peros are Hefker. What about the land itself, the soil, the Adama? It's interesting that the Taz, who wrote a Pirush on Rashi and Chumash called Divrei David, he echoes the Taina of the Maharal on Rashi, but the way he phrases it is referring even to the Adama, and says, that's also not yours. In the language of the Taz in Source 13, he brings the Maharal, the Gur Aryeh, and he says, Tol Sofer, it's a mistake in Rashi, couldn't be Rashi who said this. Hech Yavi Bikurim B'Shvias, Deina Tokoreka Neshenasata Li U'B'Shvias Lo Nasan Lo Oso Hadama. He doesn't focus on the pre, he focuses on the Adama. So let's ask ourselves the question, what is the status of the Adama with regard to Shemitah? Another parish on Rashi is Nachas Yaakov, the Talmud of the Ramah and Mashal, and he notes the issue regarding Adama as sort of part of why you would have thought that there is no mitzvah bikurim. But nevertheless, he says, Rashi would be telling us that there is a mitzvah bikurim, even though it's not exactly fully yours, even on the Adama. He points out that the drasha that Rashi quotes, I didn't find it anywhere, but we could find basis for it. Efshe l'kaimo, don't think that your pater delo mikri admascha b'shvius, and he gives examples where it's not admascha, and you can't say reishis priya adama, but any payers are hefker as well, but the Torah tells me that your chayiv mikol makom admascha hi. So what does he mean? Is it or isn't it? It's not quite admascha, but it is admascha enough for the Torah to teach me that there's a mitzvah bikurim. So this is, allows us to begin to delve into another dimension of this inyan of the hefker of shvius. We know the payers are hefker. Now, for someone to come in and take fruit that's available for them to take, typically they'd have to come into your field. Now, what gives them the right to come to the field? But if the Torah says that it's available for everyone to take, then it must be that on some level the Torah has allowed the land to be trespassed on for somebody to come in. So this is the Gemara in the Nedarim. Again, I wish we could learn it more be'irin, but the Gemara is talking about a case a person makes a neder that nobody should get enough of my assets. So this could be where he makes a neder before Shvius or he makes a neder during Shvius. And the Mishnah tells us over there that if he makes a neder during Shvius, it's allowed, a person's allowed to take the fruit min hanotos, which means it's not that he went into the field, but he's outside the field and he's picking the fruit from the tree that's overhanging. So the Gemara wonders, and the assumption of the Gemara in the question is clearly that it should be available for him to walk in and take as well. The Gemara asks, Maishna, the ochel min hanotos, the peri hefkera inun, the fruit is hefker, aranami afkera. The Gemara makes a statement, matter of fact, the land is hefker as well. To which the Gemara offers two answers. Answer number one is Ula. He says, Ba'omdim ilanos ala gvulin. The answer is that we're talking about trees that are on the border, so you don't really need to go into the field to get the fruit on that tree. You could be outside and still pick the fruit from the tree without entering. The other answer is interesting. That's the answer, Gzeira shema yishe ba'amida. In other words, technically you could go in and pick the fruit from what's inside, but you're only allowed to be there as long as it's relevant for what you're doing. Now, what are you doing? So here is a nuance of a machlokes between the Ran and Tosis. Both agree that it's not an absolute hefker. It's hefker insofar as what the Torah wants the fruit to be available for others. The way that the Ran says it, Yishe b'amida means it's only allowed for him to enter to do the picking. Once he picks, he has to not take any extra time and go right out. Tosis gives him a little more time because Tosis says, Yadra b'amida l'achar achila, you see in source 17, with tzorach achila afkir rachmana, shelo with tzorach achila lo. The common denominator is that's not an absolute hefker, it's a hefker insofar as allowing the person to be able, any other person, to come into the field and pick the peros, but he can be there as long as he needs either for Lakita or even for Achila. The stipler points out, though, it's interesting, what kind of halacha is this? Everyone has a right to come into your field to pick the pears. Is it like a socher maskir type of thing? Is it like a shibud? And they point out, it's halacha that he owns the karka for the pears, like we call dekel the pears. It's not just a schus for pears, and memela you have a right, shibud, to get your pears, you have a right to go in to the land. That, if that would be like a socher, a neder would be chal to take it away, to deprive him of that schus. But the answer is, it's not just a schus, it's a kinyan in the karka, binogeya lakita lachila of the pears. So now we understand better what's at stake in terms of this question. Do you or do you not own the land on which the pears are growing during Shemitah? The answer is, you own the land, but in some respects, your bailus is compromised. Your actual bailus in the gufa karka is compromised because there's a kinyan in the karka for pears that anyone else has. That's a fantastic idea, which really allows us to think about, therefore, do you own the land? Do you not own the land? In some ways you do, in some ways you don't. Insofar as what's not relevant to the other person doing Lakita and Achila and Paris, you do own the land. But since there is a real kinyan that the person has, you don't have the full bailus that you normally would have. the Rambam just codifies this, as you can see, and here he goes, Al Derech Tosfos, he says that you have the right to go into the land to eat, and the Gzeira the Rambam brings is Shema Yishya Sham Acha Sheyochal, which means that as long as you're eating, you can stay there in the person's land and enjoy the fruit. The Or HaChaim did not quote Rashi, but he took sides on this issue, and also focusing on the question of do you or do you not own the land. The Or HaChaim makes a comment at the beginning of Parshas Kisavo. You could call it his own drasha, if you will. The pasuk says, when you go into the land, Asher Hashem Elokecha nosen lecha nachala. So the Or HaChaim is medayik from the language of the pasuk. When are you chayv in Bikurim? When it's the land that Hashem gave you completely to be yours. Perush, lefi sheshir Hashem lo chelek ba'aretz. Hashem retained for himself a portion in the land. Namely, during Shemitah, where the land is Hashem, so to speak, it's not yours. Therefore, Hashem is telling us in the pasuk, she'eino mitzvah ela uzman hanesin alach, which means 6 out of the 7 years. B'shnas ha-shemitah, ein ba havas bikurim, fi she'einam shelo, and with kerosel kol. The Or HaChaim is saying that there's no mitzvah bikurim in Shemitah because the land is not fully yours, it's retained by Hashem. So here the Or HaChaim, without quoting Rashi, goes on the other side of the issue, but using the logic that the land is not completely yours, therefore there's no mitzvah bikurim. Okay, let's go through a couple of other possible svaros and points why we could defend the text of Rashi and explain why there is a mitzvah bikurim. Even if we think we would assume that the Lashon Nasata Li Hashem is going on the Peros, exactly why would there be a mitzvah bikurim during Shemitah? There is a Rambam that is brought by a number of Achronim, the Torah Zroim, and others, that maybe could explain why there would be a mitzvah bikurim during Shemitah, because the Rambam brings the following case, a couple of cases. A person purchases fruit, detached, and purchases, independent of that, the piece of land that the fruit grew up. Says the Rambam, you bring bikurim, and you could be maybe bikurim. You have your land, you have your peros. Another case, you sold peros and not the karka. Now nobody can bring bikurim, not the seller, because he doesn't have peros, not the buyer, he doesn't have the land. But if the seller goes back and buys the peros again, now he's got the peros, he's got the land, and he's a chayev to bring bikurim. So perhaps you could make the case that if there's hefker peros, true, it's hefker. But now the Torah wants you to bring bikurim. So what do? You're zoche min hefker. Now it's yours. The land is yours. Let's assume the land is yours enough to be valid to be called your land. And the fruit was hefker, but no longer is it hefker. Once you're zoche, it should be a case like a person would buy fruit after selling it. Now, one could differentiate between the cases, but maybe that's all you need. As long as there is, at the end of the day, a bailus on the peris, a bailus on the karka, enough to have the mitzvah bikurim. So maybe that's a possibility why there could be a justified mitzvah bikurim, even though it's not the normal way it is, because it starts off as hefker, but then you're zoche mina hefker, and then you can have your mitzvah. Okay, let's see if there's another possible svara, another angle here, and that is, by the way, I just told you, it was mentioned by a number of achronim, among them in source 21, the Shem Ephraim says this, and it's also the Torah Zroim, and maybe other achronim. There is an interesting chakira of the Minchas Chinuch regarding the nature of hefker during Shemitah. When we say that peros are hefker, does that mean it's automatically hefker? The Torah deems it hefker, afkata demalka? Or does it mean that the Torah is mitzaveh, the farmer, to formally make it hefker? Suppose he doesn't do so, he violated the mitzvah ha-Torah. But hefker it's not. Nafka mina, is it pater from Tumas and Maestris? If it's only pater because, let's say, it's hefker, he never made it hefker. So then it would be chayv in Tumas and Maestris. If someone would step in and try to claim it for themselves, they'd be violating gezel, because it's only available for them if he's mafker it, which the Torah says he should do. That's the classic chakir with Minchas Chinuch, as you see. Ani mesupok, ra'i ha-mitzvah karkavta de gavrahu. That's the tzivoy haTorah. The im mafker hareza hefker, im eno mafker eno mufker. You violate the assay, but it's not hefker. Nobody else can take it. It's gezel. This is his question. Or do we say not that way? It's always hefker, whether you like it or not, and it's going to be available for everybody to take. But obviously, if you're doing an Avera, if you don't allow people to come in. But regardless, it is Hefker. Whether you put up your son, whether you open your gates or not. This is his Chakira. He wants to be told of this question in the Machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Marit. Marit is the son of the Mabit, so really it's both of them who hold either side of this issue. It's not so simple that this is really the Machlokes. If you look in carefully at the Lashon of the Tshuva, but this is how a lot of Achronim take on, that the Beis Yosef holds that you have to be Mafkirit, and otherwise it hasn't happened. And according to the Mabit and the Marit, it's automatic. Says the Maram Shik, Talmud of the Chassam Sefer, source 23, this question of the Maral will depend on which side of the Chakira we go. The Chari says, Talya zed bepukta shehuva le'el b'mitzvah peidalet, the Ladasa Beis Yosef, that really the Paris are yours. Ela de mitzvah asay lahafkiram. So it's a mitzvah to be mafkirit. So then the Goraya has no raya. What does he say? Halo lo nasan. As far as the Nesida is concerned, it was given to you with a mitzvah separate from that to be mafkir. But the mitzvah's bikurim dictates that for this you're not mafkir. That's the mitzvah's bikurim. That comes first. And then there's a mitzvah for everything else to be mafkirit. But the other side is the marit, and that would be the maral shita, that the parents have carried the malka, the Torah made it hefker, and therefore that's his question. It wasn't given to you. So that's another angle, another thought, another way we could perhaps think about Rashi in defense of Rashi, at least the gears that we have in Rashi. Okay, let's go again. As I say, every one of these topics, we could become its own shir. Another thought, and this is what we're saying now, is presented by the Fi Pesach Frank in Har Tzvi. The timing. We talk about Hefker of the Paris, and other halachas, of course, for Kedushas Paris Shvius. We talk about Bikurim. What comes first? The mitzvah of Bikurim is described in the Mishnah. You see, verse 24. A person goes to his field, we saw it mentioned before already, b'mechubar. At what stage of development of the pre does the status of Bikurim take effect? Says the Mishnah, Roeh, he sees, example, te'ena shebikra, a fig gets ripened, eshkol, kostur shebikra, rimon shebikra, pomegranate, kosher begemi, you tie this reed around it, v'omeh hareza Bikurim. That's how we hold, that's the sheet of the Tanakama. Says the Bar Tanura, what stage of development is the Bikurim happening? Says the Bar Tanura, afilu lo nigmar ha-pri. The pri is not yet fully ripened. It's an earlier stage. Bishas hafrasha, it doesn't need to be a complete pri. When does it have to be a complete pri? Bishas hava, like the language of the Pasuk. Hinehe vesias reishis pri ha-adama. That has to be a complete pri. But the point that you're designated as Bikurim, the Chalos Bikurim is the Mechubar, even at an earlier stage, pre-ripening. And he doesn't identify exactly, but he does say, he says Bosar, right? That's the language of the Rav. But the Tosfos Yontif brings it and says, you know what? Even earlier, there's earlier different stages that you can describe before something becomes right. There's Bosar, there's Pagin, there's Smadar, which is even earlier. So what do we see in terms of Bikurim? The status of Bikurim takes effect the Mechuber at a stage that's not even yet an edible pre. It's not yet a complete in its formation, but the status of Bikurim has taken effect. That's the Pashtus. What about regarding Hilchus Shemitah? When does the pre take on halachus, special halachus of Shemitah? So here it gets interesting. With regard to one of the halachus of Shemitah, if you're not allowed to ruin Perishvius. It says in the Pasuk, Le'achla, we dash in Le'achla, velo Le'hefshid. So there's a Gemara in Tzachim Brachis, the Rambam codifies it, that when you have a tree that's a fruit-bearing tree, you're not allowed to cut it for its wood before the fruit is, even though the fruit isn't yet complete, because that's also called Hefshid Perishvius, because now you're not letting the tree mature and you're not going to have it to eat. So that's called, you're not letting the potential emerge, and that's also a violation. And that's mentioned in the Gemara in terms of earlier stages also, even Mishir Tzil Boser, as you can see. Question is that a din d'oraisa? Or is that maybe only an extra halacha midrabanan? The Rav Pesach Frank thinks that based on the lashon of the Kiryat Sefer, you see in the Mabit in source 29, it has to be already a pre that you can eat before you can talk about that iser of l'achav lo lehefsid. If it's not edible anyway, it comes up, for example, b'shas habiur. Let's say if the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat it anyway, you can't talk about an iser of hefsid. So if it's not yet edible, so what's the iser? Okay, preventing the potential. But maybe that halacha can be din doraisa. So if it's not a midah debar achila, it's not la'acha below a hefsid. So if that's the case, says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, we could say as follows. The mitzvahs bikurim can apply during Shemitah. Why? Because the chalos bikurim happen preempted the status of Perush Shvias, be it in terms of Kedushas Perush Shvias and whatever halachas, be it in terms of the Hefker Perush Shvias. It didn't happen yet. So the mitzvah bikurim already, you got it in your foot in the door. There's mitzvah bikurim. So mele, it remains as such even afterwards. And he says very interesting, creative answer to one of the kashas that they asked. We asked it, mentioned earlier, why doesn't the Mishnah, back in source 30, we had this Mishnah before, mention as one of the nafkaminas between bikurim and Trumas and Maisris, the fact that bikurim is noeg in Shemitah and Trumas and Maisris are not. Right? We mentioned a few nafkaminas, why not this? But says of his face of Frank, we did mention it. How? It says that bikurim is no nicknamed in Bechuvah. So that's exactly the reason why it's applying during Shemitah. So you don't have to tell me a separate nafkamina. It's implicit in what we have. Okay. That's another mahalach, another way to explain why you could have the mitzvah of bikurim during Shemitah. There's another issue that comes to bear in this whole inyan, and that's based on the Gemara in Bechorah, Staff Yud Beis. This is separate from the issue that we're discussing until now about Hefker. The Gemara talks about an animal that was purchased with money of Shemitah. And there is halachis. If you have money of Shvias that's now used to barter for something else, then that thing takes on certain restrictions as well. So if you have an animal that you purchased with most Shvias, and that animal has a firstborn. So din is, and firstborn goes to the Kohen, and it's a carbon. If it's a tamim, it has no blemish. It has to be brought on the Mizbeach. So the halacha is, says Rav Chisda, that Ptura min ha-bechora. Behemas Shvias, Ptura min ha-bechora. Why? La'achla v'lo l'sreifa. That's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. It says, Ha'isa Shabbos ha'rzachem la'achla. So just as we dash in la'achla v'lo l'hefsid, a similar variation of that is la'achla v'lo l'sreifa. What happens to certain limbs of an animal that's a carbon that gets burnt on a mizbeach? Right? The Torah tells you have to burn certain parts of the animal on a mizbeach. So you can't do that because that's antithetical to what Shvias is about. You can't allow something which is to be used to enjoy for consumption to be burnt. So that's an exclusion with regard to Bechora. Behema Shvias. So Gemara brings Akasha from another case. Isa Shvias. When it comes to dough that you have to be mafish chala on, and it's dough that, again, it has Kedusha Shvias, it grew during Shemitah. So the halacha is that there is a chiyuv misa of a person who eats tevel if you weren't mafish chala. Just as we know, you have to mafish chala and you have to mafish trumas and maisris, which means it's a chiyuv chala on isa of shvius. But why not say the same logic? Because what would happen if this becomes tamei? So what's the halacha? You have to burn it. Just like, you know, truma tamei has to be burnt. Chala is the same halacha. It's called truma. You have to burn it. And therefore, it's a violation of the halacha la'achla v'lo lehefsid. So asks the Gemara. The Gemara gives the teretz, Shani hach disiv udoros seichem. In Parsha Shlach, when the Torah talks about chala, it is udoros seichem, means it always is no egg, it applies all the time. So the Gemara says, so why not learn out v'ligma minah, two lines down, from there to Bechora. So say, we have a gzeres hakasiv that chala is no egg, even though it could come to day sreifa, but it applies during Shemitah. So say the same thing for Bechora. But there's a difference. You can learn it out. Chasam ikir la'achila. It's not like you're looking for it to become tamei. The ikar is to eat it. It could happen it becomes tamei, but the Torah says, nonetheless, we're not going to let you, not concerned, and it's no egg in Shemitah. Here, ikar l'sreifa. The whole purpose of the carbon is part of it to be burnt, so therefore, it's different. You can learn it out from chal. Now the question becomes, Yev Rashi explaining what we just spoke out from the Gemara. What about bikurim? Bikurim, Chayra, also has the concern that we just raised in the Gemara, because if Bikurim becomes Tameh, you also have to, you can't use it, it has to be discarded. It has to be burnt past this. And the Rambam says, Nochus Trumas, that's the din. Various things that have become Tameh, they have to be burnt. So, what do you say now? Since we see Behemas Shvias is part of because of the Achav Lo Esreifa, so should we not say the same thing when it comes to Bikurim? Elamai, we have Chal. Chal has Xeris HaKasuv. But maybe we can use the Mamatzino. The Gemara says you can't learn out from Chala to Bechora. Why? Because this is Iker L'Achila, this is Iker L'Sreifa. Ah, what about Bikurim? The Iker is for Achila, for the Kohanim to enjoy that, Shemishma to enjoy it. says the Avnei Neza, aha, that could be. Masha, Ratsa, Kota, Rasha, Loma, Tam, Lifter, Shavias, Mibikurin, the same issue. Because of the Svar, the E, Mitame, Basrefahi, because Chala needs a Xeris Akasuv, and Bikurim doesn't have it. But wait a second, look at the Sugya that we just spoke out. The Gemara had a Kasha, Nelef, Michala. The Gemara says, Mishani, Hasam, Ikra, Lachila, Bechor, Ikra, Lesrefa. If that's the case, it can be Kurim, Yalfinan, Michala, Lachiv. That's his suggested answer. So it comes out, we could salvage the shita that we seem to see in Rashi, that there is a mitzvah bikurim in Shemitah, and it in fact is similar to Chala and not similar to Bechorah. Okay, let's revisit the Rashi that we started with. So Rashi and Chumash, Parshas Mishpatim, goes on the record, seemingly, the Girsa Lefaneinu, wherever he got the drasha, wherever we don't know, he worked off of a mechilta, and he says, Af ha-shviyas chayeres v'bikurim. The Chazon Ish was very uncomfortable with this position, as we saw all the various issues that we mentioned, the peros are not yours, the karka is not yours, and yet Rashi says what he says, and to make it a tov sofer is also not such a good solution. So what does the Chazon Ish do? He comes up with creative shot in Rashi. What did Rashi talk about? Where did these peros grow? We assume they grew during Shemitah, right? So then for us, often a Rashi, that there's a Chiyah Bikurim in Shemitah. No, no. So how did Kasa Rashi, Pashas Mishpatim, Af HaShviyas, Chayev Zubikurim, Rashi doesn't mean Perish Shviyas, no. What defines a pre in terms of whether it's a 6th-year produce or 7th-year produce? We know there's certain points, Chanata, how you define it, that's considered the Zmana, that's the pre. It's a Chanata took place. That early stage of development, which is defining as a pre, as per that year. So peros go after chanata. Peros shechantu kodem hashana of shvius, tvuah dahevia shvius kodem hashana, and you pluck them during shvius. But the katzar b'shvius umevian la'achar tzeres, you bring it in shvius after shvius, which is a zman havah. So meanwhile, it's a peri of shishis. And now why would you think you wouldn't be mechuyev to bring it? It's perishishis. Ah, he tells you. Kirish ein shana zu shnas simchas hasifa. We know that when it comes at least to mikra bikurim, so we know from Sukkot to Chanukah, there's no mikra bikurim because it says by pasuk in Kisavu b'samachta b'chol tov. Bikurim is defined by a season of simcha. So that's as far as mikra bikurim. The Chazon Ish seems to be taking that idea in general for the Havar too. It's not a simchas asifa of tvua, because this whole year it's not really that kind of a year, and therefore even though the peros don't have kedushas shviyas and they're totally yours, and you'd think why not bring them and offer your gratitude, but nevertheless it's not as man. The context of the shnas shviyas is not the right match for bringing bikurim, even though the bikurim are from the 6th year. That's the chiddush of Rashi. That's the chiddush of the pasuk that shviyas chayos and bikurim. And that's why he goes with the rest of the Rashi, that Rashi quotes the Mishnah, Nichnas Adam Utok Sadeyu, Korach Alav Gemi, Magdisha, that we're talking about Peros that belong to you, not that there's some currency you're able to get it indirectly, it's yours, because we're talking about Peros Shishis. Yeah. Parenthetically, that Mishnah that was quoted here, putting a Gemi around the fruit, one of the Perushim on the Mishnah is Tosfos Anshei Shem, or Tosfos Chadashim, brings from, I think, Shoshanim LeDavid, that you only have to put this marker on the fruit during Shemitah. The rest of the years, you don't need to do that either. Why? Because during Shemitah, you have to mark it so that people who come in to take what's Hefker, no, don't take that fruit, because that's Bikurim. But the other years doesn't even need the Gemi, because it is what it is. No one's going to come in. So you know to mark it. Okay. Okay, just to, so let's just kind of summarize and then maybe end with a thought in terms of Hashkafa. We had a peculiar Rashi, a drasha that Rashi quotes, we don't know where he got it, that is a mitzvah bikurim during Shemitah. There are a range of arguments on Rashi. First, we discussed the issue of bikurim being a mitzvah tkuya ba'aretz or not, the Tosfos in Bava Basra. But then we had the taina of the Maral that this is low nasan, he wasn't given to you. How could you say he vases racious pri adama? But it's not just about the mikra bikurim. The Maral is arguing there shouldn't be a mitzvah at all to bring bikurim, and we saw different ways that one can respond to that. We could talk about the issue of the land, the ansatali is going on the land might be yours, but then again, maybe the land isn't completely yours, there's a kinyan on the land for the peros. There could be the question of being zolcha from the hefker, and then it becomes chayiv, just like you have the case in the Rambam, where you can have the fruit and the land independently, and now you bring bikurim. We had the mitchas chinuch, in terms of hefker being your obligation to be mafkirit, and if you're not mafkirit, it's not hefker, so that's why there can be a mitzvah bikurim. We could talk about the timing and say that mitzvah of the mitzvah bikurim, the chalos bikurim, preceded the status of peiros shviyas of hefker. And then we have the other issue that we mentioned in terms of the chal halacha, as far as the fact that go'acha v'lo isreifa, and the pshat of the Chazon Ish. I was just thinking, by way of conclusion, that even if we assume that Shemitah and Bikurim are not compatible, they're in conflict, it doesn't work, but that's on halacha. But in terms of hashkafa, they really could be seen as two sides of the same coin. Look in the mitzvahs, the chinuch, and he describes the rationale for the mitzvahs. And of course, we can elaborate on this, but Bikurim carries a message that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not you, it's not Kochi Ve'otzem Yadi, and you realize that, Hashem, you gave this to me, and thank you for giving me this. And what is the lesson of Shemitah? The lesson of Shemitah is that everything belongs to Hashem, and as the Chinuch says, it strengthens your bitachon. You realize that, it's again, everything is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I trust in you. And therefore, really, even if you're not bringing Bikurim, but maybe if we could take the idea of Shemitah and really internalize it, then you've gained what Bikurim is meant to give you. You've gained it anyway. Just like there was a Havamina that there shouldn't be a need to have a Shabbos Brachos during Shemitah, because the whole year is a Shabbos. So, okay, for that we say no. You still need the weekly Shabbos on top of the Shabbos of the year. When it comes to Bikurim, if we say like the Maral, and we don't assume there's a mitzvah Bikurim, but there is Bikurim. The spirit of Bikurim is all over Shemitah. And therefore, if we internalize that, we brought Bikurim during Shemitah as well. We should be zochet to internalize these respective messages of Bikurim and Shemitah in our own lives.